In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve Newell.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Not bad. How's it going?
Well, it's good weather for watching TV indoors.
That it is. And there's heaps of stuff to watch. I've been, I'll talk about film festival stuff in a minute, but I watched a new Tom Hanks movie, which is coming to Apple TV Plus this weekend, and it may be the ultimate dad movie of 2020. It's a naval drama called Greyhound. Tom Hanks being, as I discovered in my extensive research on Wikipedia, being quite the World War II enthusiast. Mm-hmm. He's a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom in the United States. He's a member of the French Legion of Honor.
Let's pick a side.
Well, maybe, eh? This is all for his activity around telling the stories of World War II veterans. So I think that is the right side in this instance.
France. How many movies has Tom Hanks made? He's kind of like the Bob Dylan movies.
A lot. He's made a lot. He's only written three films. Greyhound's the third film that he is the screenwriter of.
Tell me who wrote Wilson.
Look, he might have. Did he ad-lib all of Wilson's dialogue?
What was the movie called? Castaway. Yeah, did he?
The films that he wrote The Thing You Do and...
What a jam that is.
And he wrote Larry Crown. He directed both of those. This one he doesn't direct, but as the screenwriter, he kind of knows that, I guess if you're writing for yourself, you know what your acting can do. And serious Tom Hanks can do quite a lot of work without any dialogue. And as the captain of a ship, as a kind of like stoic dude who's trying to protect a convoy of merchant ships going across the Atlantic that are being hunted by U-boats, there's lots of kind of steely concentration face that he has to do. So he just gets to focus on his acting. Film's okay. It's not great.
That's a quick review. Slow chase movie.
It's not quite Star Wars The Last Jedi. But it doesn't rise to those heights, but it's got its moments. It's very old-fashioned. Unfortunately, the thing that I kind of kept falling down on was the film's kind of got this like claustrophobic sort of Hunt for Red October thing going on. We spend a lot of time in the bridge, and it's quite confined. Even though, indeed, the shoe. even though it's a naval destroyer and it's quite a big ship, it's quite kind of confined and stressy. But then when there's the kind of naval battles being depicted or the sort of wide shots to set the scene, it doesn't look like a $50 million movie, which is what it is. It looks a little bit cheap.
He was on a boat a while ago, and it was taken over by, I think, Somalian pirates.
Yes, he doesn't say the line, "I am the captain now," but he says, "I've got the con now."
Okay.
Which is kind of a close, even though it's completely unrelated.
Still feels good?
It feels right.
Okay.
Tommy.
This film, so there's a couple of things that happen. He's kind of trying to stay awake and in charge through this grueling like couple of days where the convoy has no air cover, so they're at the victim of this like pack of U-boats that are chasing them. And the U-boats keep like tapping into their radio and like tormenting them with "We're coming to get you," and then howling like wolves.
Sounds like
quite scary.
So Tom had to strategize to get everybody to safety.
That's right, and spoiler alert, some things get blown up.
Yes! That was probably the one thing that was going to save this movie was some heavy pyrotechnics with some helicopter shots and or drone shots.
Yeah, there's not a lot of actual boat or actual water in this movie.
Do they go near an oil rig and that blows up? They should have done that, right?
It's a missed opportunity, maybe for Greyhound 2. While it's not a true story, it tries to be pretty realistic. And this is this captain's first crossing of the Atlantic. So on his first outing, he gets a bit of a shit show of a mission. Mm-hmm. So maybe Greyhound 2 could have an oil rig on it. I reckon write to Tom Hanks and
Tom lives. Just sort of ruining the ending a little bit.
Well, I mean, there's lots of ways you can creatively do a sequel.
Tom's in a wheelchair now.
Do a prequel?
On a boat.
Could just be about the boat. Or a boat called Greyhound 2. Mm. I said it was very daddy. It is a kind of old-fashioned drama. It's not amazing.
Well, things blow up. My old man's in. You know, like, he's all
Oh, there we go.
Fuck yeah.
Boaty.
just explosions. Nautical. Explosions.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Hanks obviously has a love of the sea because two things most are great. Of his films are based explosions.
Does a bit of sea, doesn't
explosions yeah. and ocean are great, and also blood on snow seems to be great.
Yep. You know there's some. And there
John's
are,
like, what is it?
Yes. There are some pretty cool looking depth charges in this where they lob the barrels and then kind of wait and see what happens. It's like, does an oil slick come up or does it not? And that's kind of a weird way to
stay under the water. It'll catch on fire.
Steve, yes. Big Hungry and I were talking about this in the office the other day. Something that is great in a film, use of snowmobiles and villains dressed all in white.
Dangerous.
Automatic rifles. Is that going to appear in any film off the skiing path
as well? Like, very dangerous if they crash or something. Their mates aren't exactly going to put a peg down and go, yo, Barry crashed right there. We better go back and get him.
I think for this one, just go back to the first 5 or 10 minutes of James Bond film A View to a Kill, which is a good snowmobile at the start.
That is good.
Some jumps. But those squibs really do their work on a white suit on a white snow.
Somebody's saying Tom Hanks is a pedophile, which brings me to the Epstein documentary that I watched.
That was a very smooth
recently.
Segue that the lawyers don't need to get involved in at all.
Right on. I'll just read the text. Text into 5395. Your thoughts at any stage. And we're an open radio station here. We'll see what you think.
How was that doco? I haven't seen it, given that the news kind of outpaces the speed which you can make documentary by.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little bit impatient of the documentary world, right, to kind of do that, just be like, get out first a little bit. But I don't know. There's some pretty heady, rich things going on in that situation, man. It's crazy. But also the last episode was a little bit like, what? So they could just keep making a few more now at this point, now that they're kind of getting hold of the wife and whatnot. Yeah, maximum creep.
Maximum creep.
Yep.
Not hugely creep related, but maybe the tangent is things moving a bit faster than you can make a documentary about them. I watched a New Zealand International Film Festival film last night called Coded Bias, which is about facial recognition technology and algorithms, and how the algorithms are really bad at recognizing anything that wasn't a white male face, because that's what they'd been trained to learn facial recognition from.
So AI is racist now?
No, the AI is completely neutral.
Okay.
But it's just that the information that's been put in has kind of come in from a biased point of view. So they could detect white male faces to like a 99.9% success rate because that was the bulk of the images that they'd been trained on. Then a white female face was kind of like in the 90-ish. And then just diminishing through black male and black female. It's quite an interesting doco, considering the prevalence of facial recognition now, but I think maybe a little bit like the Epstein, you know, there's been a lot of talk about facial recognition in the last couple of months. I think Google has decided that they don't really want US police forces using their technology because it's got this potential for abuse. But there is a sequence in this film where on the streets of London, the cops have got a van parked, it's got cameras out. There's no legislation or law governing the gathering of this information, but they're just shooting video and trying to match people to people on a database.
Right.
A couple of very posh white activists are handing out flyers and sort of monitoring this while it happens. And they come to the assistance of a couple of people. There's like a dude who, just because he doesn't want it, he sees that this is happening, and it's kind of, there's some signs up, you know, air quote warning, end air quote, the residents that this is happening. But he sees that there's this facial recognition thing, pulls his jumper up over his face because he doesn't want to take part in it. And the next thing you know, he's got four cops around him, like trying to give him the business about like, why, you must have done something wrong, because why are you hiding your face? A young black kid who's maybe in his teens in a school uniform gets misidentified by the system not working properly. And so they think that he's wanted for some offences that it turns out he's not. And yeah, look, it's just a bit av, really, that situation. Documentary, okay, but not as possibly interesting as its overall subject matter. Again, a little bit like that Epstein one, perhaps.
Okay. AI documentary, on that tip, I watched a recent one called AlphaGo, which is about the game Go and AI built to beat it, basically. And it's been done with chess, and it was quite a big deal, but if anybody knows about Go, it's like one of the oldest games created, and it has like infinite possibilities, kind of, and it's just a lot more complex than chess. So the fact that they get to the stage with a AI is quite it's fascinating. And also there's a lot of Kiwi people in it, like it must be in the AI development company or whatever. I forget the name of it, but it's the documentary is called AlphaGo. It's worth a watch. It's very interesting.
Do the human players, does it bother them the idea that a piece of
yep.
nuts and bolts might beat them.
Yeah, they're very upset by that. Yeah, it's great.
There's this,
it's very tense.
There's this really good footage in Coded Bias of Garry Kasparov's defeat by a computer playing chess.
Yeah.
And when it beats him, he just... he's just up and out of his chair and walking off, and it's there's. I guess there's no one, you can't shake hands with it, but he is fucked off.
Well, the dude's playing it. Someone has to be there moving the pieces, so he's kind of looking at him for something, and they're not giving any emotion back because you can't read him or anything. So it is kind of like an interesting.
Does the AI sort of express any sense of enjoyment or relish the victory?
Probably not. You'd hope not.
It probably would, but you wouldn't understand it.
A little you cackle understand? That's made of zeros and ones. Mm.
It's probably not that shallow. It just takes the win and moves on.
Just really quickly, I caught another couple of International Film Festival picks, and seeing Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, the dive bar, the last night of a dive bar film that's playing as part of NZIFF, I found that really enjoyable, of capturing the feeling of a collection of alkies on their last night. It was a good... Look, I had a roast. Okay. It wasn't a very nice night. I had a roast, I had a couple of drinks, and... felt nice and cozy spending time with these guys.
Okay. Excellent. What was the name of that again?
That's called Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets.
Okay.
Hmm. Not nowhere near as many rails as you'd think from that title, but...
True, eh?
You know. Righto.
Thanks, mate.
Have a good one.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.